Well, God bless you all. Welcome this morning. And for those of you on the phone line, sometimes I don't hear everybody that checks in, but we want to say welcome to all you folks that are on the phone line this morning. A boisterous welcome to you all. Welcome everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to take a look in God's Word at healing. And afterwards, we are also going to partake of Holy Communion, have bread and wine together. If you're on the phone line, if you want to get some bread and wine or juice or something and join us when we do communion here, you are certainly welcome to join in with us. So, Father, thank you for this wonderful day that we have to be alive. And, Father, for the greatness of your love, your mercy, your grace to each one of us. Thank you for being such a kind God, for providing a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could have forgiveness of all sins. And Father, by his stripes we were healed. Thank you for your word, where we can go to that word and see truth and believe it. Thank you, Father, for everyone that is here this morning and those on the phone line. And thank you, Father, for just a wonderful fellowship together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we got a couple of songs we're going to sing.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. Let's start with number 7 in our songbook, At Calvary. A little intro.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified.
Guys, sound great. Please turn to number 137. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And here's a little intro. There is a name.
Wonderful. Thanks, Dave. If you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 2 on this Sunday morning, November the 21st, 2021. This morning we're going to look in God's Word regarding healing, and then we will have some time for prayer, manifestations, and then we will partake of bread and wine together. Before we look at some verses, I wanted to just share a couple of things here at the beginning regarding healing. Move this. The more we read verses in the Bible that are related to healing, the more it encourages us to trust and believe God for his healing. And as I'm sure you're aware, sometimes it's a process getting to that point. And so we got to be careful to not be critical when someone doesn't receive healing, because there can be a number of factors that are involved. Pain can play a part, discouragement, fears or doubts in someone's thinking that they may not even be aware of. And, of course, as you know, confessing what God's Word says is so very helpful and needful. By his stripes I was healed. He said his word and healed me. I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health. There's a lot of verses, and confessing those verses and repeating them are good. But there may be situations where a person would need to flood their mind with God's truths regarding healing. Flooding the mind to overcome doubts, fears, worries, whether they're obvious or subtle. A person may need to flood their mind. And so, at times it's not easy. Like I said, pain can be involved, exhausted, discouraged. But healing from God is available. And you remember Jesus Christ told that woman, "Daughter, your believing has made you whole." Mm-hmm. He said to the blind man, "Do you believe I can do this?" And they said, yes. Remember when he told that man who had a child that was in bad shape, when the man said to him, look, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And he said, sir, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And then I love the man's answer. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think sometimes maybe that's where we're at. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Where is it I'm getting stuck? So we love people. We definitely pray for them, but we can't believe for someone. And we should never, ever be critical. We're not going through the same battle that they may be going through, right? And as you know, at times people don't get healed. And there's a verse in Hebrews that says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And then comes the return. And as you know, the Bible says, when Christ returns, among other things, there will be no more sickness. Can you imagine that? No more. Ever. No more. But that day hasn't come yet. So every day we're alive, it is a blessing. It is a blessing to wake up and be alive. And I would also say living a long life is not necessarily a testimony of a great believer. I really believe it's not how long you live, but how you live the life that you have now. And that's what's important. So, with that, we're going to look a little bit at healing. And really, when it comes to healing, there are just so many, many verses throughout the whole Bible. And we could literally, this morning and into this afternoon, we could spend just hours looking at God's Word considering healing. One of the best books that I know that helps to encourage and help people get to the point of believing. I was going to bring mine with me. I think you have one. It's that book by Dave Berge, 100 Scriptures to Help You Regain Your Healing. It's a great book. And it's been a blessing for me. I know it's been a blessing for Kathy. I know it's been a blessing for other people. I've bought a number of copies and given them away to people that are working on getting their healing. But it is really one of the best books that I've seen. Not counting the Bible. And here in 1 Peter 2, we looked at this last week. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self, our Lord Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Both forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, and healing. And so last Sunday we looked at forgiveness, and it's so important to remember that Jesus Christ not only paid the price for all sins, but he also paid the price for our healing. It says, by his stripes we were healed. And it's interesting because there's a number of places in the scriptures where both forgiveness and healing come up together. Interesting, few places where that happens. And so we need to not only accept his forgiveness, but also accept that the price for our healing has been paid. And that's why really when you think about healing, it's a gift. It's not something you earn, pray hard enough to get. It's a gift because it's paid for. You know, if I gave you this phone, I said, here you go, Ed, here's the phone. Well, what do I owe you? No, it's already paid for. It's a gift, right? This verse echoes what Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years ago. Go to Isaiah 53. Long before Jesus Christ was born, there were many prophecies about the coming Savior, the coming Messiah, the coming Redeemer. And in Isaiah chapter 53, what we just read in 1 Peter, verse 5 of Isaiah 53, But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Prophesying, Isaiah said, with his stripes we are healed. When you get to Peter, it's already accomplished. By his stripes we were healed. It is a done deal for us. Back up to Psalm, Book of Psalms, and Psalm 103. Psalm 103, another familiar verse concerning healing. In Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases." All sins, all our iniquities, and he heals all our diseases, all our sicknesses. And that means there's no sickness that is beyond God being able to bring healing to us. In Psalm 107, not too far away, Psalm 107, verse 19, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 20 says, "He sent his word and healed them." The power of God's word is healing. The book that I wrote a number of years ago, my whole goal in writing that book was to give people encouragement that healing from God was available. That's why the title of it, Healing from God is Available. And my whole goal was just to help people and to encourage people that healing from God really is available. And that's not to say anytime you're sick and you say a prayer, you'll be healed instantly. And there are records in the Bible of people being healed instantly. But that just because healing from God is available, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen instantaneously. But the point is that healing from God is available according to God's word. And we just read in Psalm 103 that he heals all diseases, all of them. That's available. And you know, somebody told me one time, disease, it's when you're lacking ease. It's dis-ease, you know, whatever that might be, you know. Could be a pain here, could be something really dramatic, could be some mental emotion. You're not at ease in that area. He heals all diseases. I think perhaps people are maybe more familiar with healings that we read about in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels. But there are definitely records of healing in the Old Testament. I wrote a few of these down. Abraham praying, and then God healed the women in Abimelech's household who were barren. I believe that is the very first reference to healing in the Bible, is when Abraham prayed for those women, and then they got pregnant. And of course, later on, God healed Sarah, who was barren. Hannah was barren, and God healed her. Elijah and Elisha both raised someone from the dead. King Jeroboam's shriveled hand was healed. That was instantaneous. There was some mercy there because he was kind of being a jackass, if you're familiar with the record. Naaman, a non-believer, was healed of leprosy instantly. King Hezekiah, on his deathbed, restored and lived another 15 years. And hey, what about Job? And I don't know. Doesn't say how long he was sick, but he was sick for a period of time. And God healed him, no thanks to his friends. If you're familiar with the record, God calls his friends miserable comforters. And you know, that's a great lesson to learn, because Job was very ill. And not only that, he had lost all his kids. He had lost all of his possessions, and the Bible says he had sore boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was miserable. And his wonderful friends tried to put him in condemnation. There must be something wrong. You must have sinned somewhere. That's a great trick of the adversary when we're needing healing, that, wow, this is because I don't go down that path. That's not the path to healing and victory. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Some Bible scholars have noted in the scriptures what they refer to many times as, we're going to Exodus 15, they refer to many times as the redemptive names of God, and how God is talked about in the Bible. I don't know, some say there's 10, some say there's 12. One of those is here in Exodus 15, in at the very end of verse 26. It says, "For I am the Lord that heals thee." And in the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is heals. God heals. I am the Lord who heals you. Healing is available from God. Let's go back to Isaiah 53, where we were a minute ago. I am the Lord that heals thee. So back to Isaiah 53. Let's read verse 3. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows or pains, and acquainted with grief or sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. The word griefs would be better translated sickness. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Our wonderful Lord and Savior, the price that he paid for our, not just for our forgiveness, but also for our healing. And if you would look at verse back in chapter 52, back just a bit, mine's on the same page, I don't have to turn. Isaiah 52, this verse, verse 14. And again, Isaiah is prophesying what the Messiah would do, what he would go through, what he would accomplish. In chapter 52, verse 14, as many were astonied at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. In the NIV, it has it this way: just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. And in the English Standard Version, as many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. If a person were to take the time and go into the gospel records, from the time Jesus Christ was arrested until the time he died, when he cried out, "Father, it is finished." He finished it. If you would take the time to look at some of the words that God uses in his word, it's beyond scary. The punishment, the physical punishment that he went through. And you know, I've read that historically, Roman scourging, it was not uncommon for people to die from a Roman scourging. And a few lashes on the back. You know, you see pictures sometimes of Jesus hanging on the cross, and sometimes you'll see like little whip marks here, and like he got a little whip there, and then there's this beautiful crown, you know, like they got it at the hobby shop or someplace. You know, it's so perfectly, it's symmetrical, it's just beautiful, and there's like a couple of drops coming down. You know, when you think about the crown of thorns, my goodness, these are Roman soldiers. They are trained in punishment, torture. And, you know, why did they do that? Well, hey, he's a king. He needs a crown, right? What do you think? They went to the craft store? You guys have any? What size? Well, probably a 7, maybe. They went and grabbed some. And how do you think they put them on his head? Just mashed them. The punishment and pain that he went through, and what we just read here in Isaiah is just, he was unrecognizable. That's the beating that he took to pay for our healing. It's been paid for. It's amazing. Back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This wonderful time that Jesus performed some healings. You know, verse 14 tells us that when he went in, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. He touched her hand, verse 15. The fever left her. Boom. She arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which we've read. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. When we read records of healings, we see people who received healing that were both young and old, male and female, famous and nameless, believer and unbeliever. Healing from God is available for all people. When we look at records of people who have been healed in the Bible, we can see people who have been sick a very short time, probably Peter's mother-in-law with a fever, and other people that have been sick for a long time, right? 12 years, the woman with the issue of blood, the guy at the gate temple, beautiful, 38 years. Oh my goodness. Healing from God is available whether you just got sick this morning or whether you've been sick for a long time. Healing from God is available. We can read records of healings regarding a variety of things. Lame, blind, deaf, dumb, withered hand, barren women, even a fever. Healing from God is available no matter what the ailment, illness is. We can read in the Bible of people with a very grave illness or disease, you know, like leprosy. And of course, the most dramatic healing of all is raising someone from the dead. Can't get much sicker than that, right? But you see, all those records in the Bible encourage us, help us to get to the point to trust God and believe Him that we can receive healing from Him, regardless. Look at James chapter 5. The epistle of James chapter 5. And in verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." That's a good thing when you're afflicted. Pray. "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now that doesn't mean, oh gosh, there's where we've missed it. We've forgot the oil. That's why it's not. You know, the book of James was written to people from a Judean background that were born again, and they still carried over some things. Like in the synagogue, they would anoint people with oil. You know, it's just a custom they carried over. Doesn't mean you need oil. The point here is praying for people to get healed. "And the prayer of believing shall save the sick." Oh, I thought it was the type of oil. No, "the prayer of believing shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." There's another place where forgiveness and healing come up together. "Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And this perhaps brings to mind the manifestation of gifts of healing. one of the nine manifestations that every born-again believer has the ability to operate. And notice it's the manifestation of the gifts of healing. Because healing's a gift. Not something you work for, earn, not something you have to be good enough for, pray hard enough for. It is a gift. So reading this record, you know, might bring that up. You know, operating the manifestation. When somebody asks you to pray for them, you may get information from God and then as a result operate the manifestation of gifts of healing. Or you may not get information from God, in which case you can still pray, right? We can still pray for that person to get healed. The Bible doesn't say the only way that you can ever receive healing is by the operation of the manifestation of gifts of healing. It doesn't say that right here. We're just reading it. Pray. Pray for people that they can get healed. And, of course, we can also pray for others with perfect prayer by speaking in tongues. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, right? And it's certainly not a sin to get sick. Some people teach that. It's not a sin to get sick. And it's not a sin to seek medical attention either. Well, I'm just going to believe God. Well, okay, I hope so. You know, if that's where you're at, that's wonderful. It's not a sin to get medical attention. And, you know, there may be cases where someone needs to get that medical attention now.
Right.
But, like I said, there's a lot of factors involved. But how very loving and kind of God to have so many records in the Bible that we can read of people, human beings like us, who received healing. How very loving and kind of God to have so many verses in the Bible that show us his desire to heal. How very loving and kind of God to give us, all of us born again ones, the ability to operate the manifestation of gifts of healing so we could help people, right? And on top of all that, how very encouraging it is for us to remember that Jesus Christ paid the price for our own personal healing. By his stripes, we were healed. Look at Jeremiah 17, if you would, back in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 17. We may go a little longer today, but why not? Jeremiah 17, this is such a wonderful verse. Jeremiah 17:14. Everybody there? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. And we certainly give God the praise he deserves. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. The Lord God Almighty brings healing. You know, God provided healing even before Jesus Christ paid the price for all the born-again ones' healing. Isn't that something? God's a healer. So when we need healing, reading records of other people receiving healing, as well as verses that remind us that God is the one who heals, that is very helpful in getting us to the point of believing and receiving our healing. You know why? Because we read it today. He sent his word and healed them. The word of God, it says in Hebrews, is quick and powerful. The word of God, the words in this book are words of power. In Romans, it tells us that believing comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God, yes. So we must never underestimate the healing power of God's written word. That's why it's so helpful in some situations where, you know, someone just needs to flood their mind with the Word of God. And that would be with the Word of God that pertains to their situation, right? Not like I'm going to read the record of Noah over and over. You know, that's a great record. I love that. But if I need healing, I got to put my nose in the book with every verse I can find about healing and, you know, put that into my head. The scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ paid for our healing. And so the more we read those records and see people from every background and every kind of sickness receiving healing, when we read those records of those people, it encourages us to trust God and believe God. They were human like we are, right? If they could believe and receive healing, why can't I? And, you know, if God could bring healing to them, why would he not want to bring healing to me? And then the more we read verses where God declares that he indeed does heal, the more it encourages us to trust and believe him for our own healing. Before we pray and get ready for communion, go to Psalm 103 again, if you would, please. Psalm 103. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Let's take a few moments and pray and hear messages from our wonderful Father by way of the manifestations.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to sing another song here.
Yeah, take your songbook and go to number 125, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus, I love thee, I know now.
Thanks again, Dave. Well, the night Jesus Christ was betrayed, as you know, a lot of things happened at what we refer to as the Last Supper. Many things took place. One of those was Jesus Christ instituted a memorial. And before we share bread and wine together, we're going to look at those records of the bread and the wine that he did that night. We'll start in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. It says, and as they were eating, in the middle of the meal, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And of course, it's a metaphor when he said, this is my body. He wasn't magically changing a piece of bread into his physical body. But it's a metaphor. It's like when Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's a metaphor. This bread. And, you know, they had kind of like pita bread, kind of flat and round. And so they would tear it, break it. So he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is given for you. And then the cup also, this is my blood, meaning my life, which is shed for you. We see basically the same thing in Mark chapter 14. And we just read it was as they were eating, right? It was in the middle of a meal. Mark chapter 14. And verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And in Luke chapter 22, a lot of details of the Last Supper are in the Gospel of John, but the memorial is not in the Gospel of John. That's why you have to put all four Gospels together, especially when you're talking about an identical event. in Luke chapter 22, Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me." Remember that my body was broken for you. Remember that I died for the remission of sins. And two things that are really important that we see there in the Gospels, it was while they were eating. Jesus Christ did not instigate a new special ceremony. You know, Passover was a special ceremony, very specific things. This was while they were eating, a common meal, and he used common items that would be found in a common meal: bread, wine, juice. I mean, almost every meal we have has some kind of bread, you know, unless you're going total carb free. But, you know, it was just two common things. So number one to remember is that as while they were eating, and then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What were they doing?
Eating.
Eating, sure. Could we not remember his broken body and shed blood when we eat? Mm-hmm. When? How about whenever we eat? We just stop for a moment and go, "Wow, he paid the price for all my sins. And he paid for my healing." We could stop and remember, right? One more record, 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul, God gave him revelation to write about this memorial, which some call communion, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. There's a lot of different names. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll start in verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" As often as you do it. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or declare with emphasis the Lord's death till he come." And what did the Lord's death provide? Remission and forgiveness of sins, paid for our healing, eternal life, all that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. We're at verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You know, if you go back a chapter or so, he was talking to them a little bit about idolatry. The Corinthians were not of Israel. They were pagans, you know, and they received the word of God and they got born again, but, you know, had old habit patterns. And in the idolatrous world, you would go to sacrifices, you would eat food offered unto idols. You know, it says in this, I just read it this morning, I was like, I think that's in there. Shortly before this, in chapter 11, but he told him, he said, you know, if you go somewhere, you know, it's fine. All things are lawful, but not all things are the best. But if you go somewhere and someone offers you food and you don't know from whence or whatever, just eat it, be blessed. But if they go, "Hey, this has been offered to idols," don't eat it. For their sake, for the sake of the one that gave it to you, don't eat it. It's not going to poison you. But for their sake, for offering idolatrous food to you. So you see a little carryover of that when he's talking here. If you keep that in mind, you're like, oh, okay, now I get a little better picture. So, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. Let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding the Lord's body broken for us. By his stripes we were healed. That this isn't some sacrifice to gods. It's a memorial. We're remembering. And for not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So, as often as you do this, he did this while they were having a meal. Two very common items, bread and wine in the meal. That's what he did. And so now we are going to remember both forgiveness and healing. And for those of you on the phone hookup this morning, if you have some bread and wine or bread and juice, you're certainly welcome to join us. We are going to partake of bread first. So, like Jesus Christ did, he took bread and blessed it. Father, thank you for this bread that we are all about to eat. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so, if we could pass this around. These pieces of bread we cut up and has never been touched by hands because we used plastic gloves. So if you want to just take a piece of bread and pass around, when you all have that, then we will have bread together and then pray silently before we have wine. So he gave him the bread and he said, take, eat. Now that's what we'll do. Father, thank you for the healing that is available because Jesus Christ paid a really heavy price. And his body was just beaten to a pulp. By his stripes we were healed. Father, may we accept the healing from you and may we expect to see healing in our physical bodies. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And then he took the cup. So I have something that's maybe a little more authentic. I don't think he had a nice gold-plated chalice. From everything I could find, their cups were kind of like this. So he took the cup and he said, this cup is my blood shed for the remission of sins. And the shed blood is meaning he died. That's figurative in the Bible. When you read about the precious blood of Christ, it means his precious life. He gave his life. Father, we ask you to bless this wine, and may we remember as we partake that Father, Jesus Christ also paid the full, complete price for all of our sins, and not for ours only, as your word says, but for the sins of the whole world. And Father, we accept that forgiveness this morning in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're not going to pass this around. No. Just kind of keeping things as healthy as we can. But these little cups, and they all have some wine in them. So just pass that around, and we'll each take one, and once we have it all, we'll partake together. How's that? Sometimes these little cups get a little snug in there. same wine in here as in there. Father, again, please bless this wine that we could remember we are forgiven. And he said, take, drink. We're going to sing one more song before we close with prayer.
Okay, let's turn to 184. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Well, you're all wonderful. Those of you here and those of you on the phone line as well. I'd like to close with prayer, and I wonder if we could stand and maybe all join hands somehow together here. We can figure it out. Pray together. Come right on over. All right. We're all joined together here, so... Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, how blessed we are to know these truths from your word. That Father, we are forgiven. We're not perfect. We screw up, but we're not those that are unforgiven and condemned. But Father, your gracious mercy and the completed work of Christ has given us forgiveness of sins. And may we accept that and live in the righteousness that you've made us. And Father, how blessed we are to know that healing from you is available. May we, Father, continue to look to you whenever we need healing. May we accept it and expect it. And we're so grateful that by his stripes we were healed. I pray for every person here and for those on the phone hookup and for those that may hear this recording. God, thank you for our lives, for continuing to bless us, and give us all that we need in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Coming up Thursday, we have lots to be thankful for, especially forgiveness and healing. So, God bless you. Love you.
Thank you.
Bless. Thank you.